Hare 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 Rama Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Jaya Prabhupada, 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 Jaya Jaya Prabhupada, 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 Nitai Guru Hari Go, Hari Go, Hari Go, Hari Go, Nitai Guru Hari Go, Hari Go, Hari Go, Hari Go. नाम संकीर्तन यज्ञ की जय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्यं नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासम् तदो जयं उदीरये नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवती उत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। वासुदेवाय। श्रीमद् भागवतम सेवेंथ कैंटो चैप्टर टू टेक्स्ट 42। इदं शरीरं पुरुषस्य मोहजं यथा पृथग् भौतिकं इयते गृहं यथोदकै यथोदैकः पार्थिव थैजसैर् जनः कालेन जातो विकृतो विनश्यति। इदं शरीरं पुरुषस्य मोहजं यथा पृथक् भौतिकं यते गृहं यथा यथ औदकै पार्थिव तैजसैर्जनः कालेन जातो विकृतो विनश्यति। इदं शरीरं पुरुषस्य मोहजं यथा पृथक् भौतिकं यते गृहं यथोदकै पार्थिवै तैजसैर्जनः कालेन जातो विकृतो विनश्यति। इदं शरीरं पुरुषस्य मोहजम् यथा पृथक् भौतिकं यते गृहम् यथा उदेकै पार्थिवै तैजसैर्जनः कालेन जातो विकृतो विनश्यति इदं शरीरं पुरुषस्य मोहजम् यथा पृथक् भौतिकं यते गृहम् यथा उदकै पार्थिवै तजसैर्जनः कालेन जातो विकृतो विनश्यति इदं शरीरं पुरुषस्य मोहजम् यथा पृथक् भौतिकं यते गृहम् पार्थिवै तजसैर्जनः इदं शरीरं पुरुषस्य मोहजम् यथा उदकै पार्थिवै तैजसैर्जनः कालेन जातो विकृतो विनश्यति वैष्णवी इदं शरीरं पुरुषस्य मोहजम् यथा पृथक् भौतिकं यते गृहम् यथा उदकै पार्थिव तैजसैर्जनः कालेन जातो विकृतो विनश्यति इदं शरीरं पुरुषस्य मोहजम् यथा पृथक् भौतिकं यते गृहम् यथा उदकै पार्थिव तैजसैर्जनः कालेन जातो विकृतो विनश्यति इदं दिस् शरीरं बॉडि पुरुषस्य ऑफ द कंडीशन सोल मोहजम बॉर्न ऑफ इग्नोरेंस यथा जस्ट एज पृथक सेपरेट भौतिकम मटीरियल यथे इज सीन गृहम अ हाउस यथा जस्ट एज उदकः विथ वाटर पार्थिव विथ अर्थ तैजसै एंड विथ फायर जनः द कंडीशन सोल कालेन इन ड्यू कोर्स ऑफ टाइम जातः बोर्न विकृतः ट्रांसफॉर्म्ड विनश्यति is vanquished. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Just as a householder, although different from the identity of his house, thinks his house to be identical with him, so the conditioned soul, due to ignorance, accepts the body to be himself, although the body is actually different from the soul. This body is obtained through a combination of portions of earth, water and fire. And when the earth, water and fire are transformed in the course of time, the body is vanquished. The soul has nothing to do with this creation and dissolution of the body. Purport. We transmigrate from one body to another in bodies that are products of our illusion, mohajam. But as spirit souls, we always exist separately from material conditioned life. The example given here is that a house or car is always different from its owner. But because of attachment, the conditioned soul thinks it to be identical with him. A car or house is actually made of material elements. As long as the material elements combine together properly, the car or house exists. And when they are disassembled, the house or the car is disassembled. The spirit soul, however, always remains as he is. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Saparantikam Vanchakalpatarubhyascha Pripasindubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare Mukham Karoti Vachalam Pangum Langhayate Girim Yat Kripatamaham Bande Shri Gurum Dinataranam. We are hearing Hiranyakashipu speaking to his mother and the wives of his brother and his nephews. So he is counseling them. Hiranyaksha has been killed by Varahadev, and so the queens and Hiranyaksha's sons, they are lamenting. And of course Hiranyakashipu has his own issues with that, being the brother of Hiranyaksha. Yeah. But he's, for the time being, putting that away, putting that to the side. And we'll see how he has not really dealt with it, he has not faced it. And his actions before and after prove that. But here, he is counseling these other persons. And he's speaking, I mean, as we have understood earlier, if he just didn't know the context of the verses, then this is perfect philosophy in a way. He cannot find fault with this philosophy of Hiranyakashipu. So it's Bhagavad Gita 101 basics. He's telling the wives and the queens that we are not the body, we are the spirit soul. The body is temporary, the spirit soul is eternal, so on and so forth. So he's telling all that. And as we see, even in the current world, actually most of the people that if we ask, surveys have been conducted, and most of them, they believe in the existence of the soul. I mean, even a simple man, you know, one doesn't have to be a rocket scientist. In fact, that's a disqualification mostly. But even a common man can understand that one is not the body, one is a spirit soul. But typically, that's where it sort of begins and ends. And then different people have different conceptions of the soul, what happens to the soul. Okay, when we hear that, you know, the person passed away, so they understand the body is still there, but the person has passed away. So who has passed away? So they understand, oh, there is a soul besides the body that has passed away. But then as we, you know, scratch the surface and probe further, I mean, most people don't have any clue what that means, that one is not the body or the spirit soul. And what is the destination of the soul after this, you know, the soul leaves this body? Where does it go? How does it go? What is the process? You know, and that. So, you know, there are, you know, there are 7 billion people in this world. I think there are 7 billion ideas almost as to what happens with the soul. And so thanks to Srila Prabhupada, you know, and the Acharyas, in the context of, you know, our Krishna consciousness. So Srila Prabhupada, you know, was the person who actually brought this philosophy home. He always kept saying, in many of his books he writes, that this is not just armchair philosophy, that I'm not the body, I'm the spirit soul. But then, okay, what is next? What happens after that? So Srila Prabhupada, firstly, he gave us, you know, the complete Sambandha Gyan, not just, you know, half baked or half of it, but all of it. So not only did he teach us that we are not the body, we are the spirit soul, but then he also taught us that there is the Supreme Lord, there is a Supreme Soul. And there is a relationship between the soul and the super soul or Krishna. And that relationship is bhakti. So he actually brought the abhideya, he brought the process, he is giving us the process by which actually we can realize that we are not the body, we are the spirit soul, and we have a relationship with Krishna. And if we notice, yes, Srila Prabhupada again and again he emphasized this, but actually more than even that you are not the body, you are the spirit soul, he emphasized that we are a servant of Krishna. Jivera Swarupa Hoya, Krishna Nitya Das. So that was his emphasis. You know. Because why that is required is because then there is a philosophy, but then that philosophy can be brought into the foreground of practical life. So Prabhupada also translated always bhakti as devotional service, not just devotion. Prabhupada says devotional service is neither idle meditation or sentimental ecstasy. Its substance is practical action. So Srila Prabhupada, he taught us that we are a servant of Krishna. And then he taught us how to act in that position. Because let's go all the way back. As it is mentioned here in the purport, in the translation, we can clearly see that there is a misidentification. There is a misidentification. I'm thinking I'm the body, you know. And then that misidentification with the body, it extends to what I think is mine. So aham and mameti. So they go together. So here the examples that are given in the purport are, you know, the house and the car. So for most people, so the soul is encaged in this body. So this is one house. But then there is another house that we actually live in. So anyway, so to not go too far into that, but the as we understand from scriptures, the issue begins, so somehow or the other, the living entity who is eternally a part and parcel of the Lord, somehow the yadrichaya, he has a desire to enjoy independently of Krishna. And so to facilitate that, the first thing that the living entity is given is false ego. False ego. So Prabhupada understood that action, and then we also understand from scripture that is the first thing to come and the last thing to dissolve. So he didn't focus so much on, you know, dissolving the false ego. Rather, he put all his attention in attaining a real ego. So he focused on Jivera Sarabhuhaya, Krishna Nitya Das. So he said, he taught us that we are the spirit soul, we are not the body, but, you know, we are a servant of the God, servant of the Lord. And so he put his energy there. And so he engaged all of us in practical ways. And what is bhakti? It's very simple. I'm specifically looking for one verse. How does that begin? Sarva upadhi vinirmuktam tat paratvena nirmalam rishikena rishikesha sevanam bhakti ruchati. Right? Yeah. Sarva upadhi vinirmuktam tat paratvena nirmalam ऋषिकेन ऋषिकेश सेवनम भक्तिर उच्यते सर्व उपाधि विनिर्मुक्तम उपाधिस मीन्स डेजिग्नेशंस सर्व उपाधि सो ऑल द ग्रोस एंड सटल डेजिग्नेशंस गिविंग देम अप सर्व उपाधि विनिर्मुक्तम तत्परत्वेन निर्मलम एंगेजिंग इन द डिवोशनल सर्विस ऑफ द लॉर्ड ऋषिकेश स्पेसिफिकली ही यूजेस द टर्म द वर्स यूजेस द टर्म ऋषिकेश एंड ऋषिकेन There is a reason why that verse is used. Krishna has many, many names, and one of the names is Rishikesha, one who takes charge of the senses. So here is a living entity who has a false ego, and then a material mind, a material intelligence, and then the material senses, you know, the knowledge acquiring senses and the working senses. And as we understand, so this is a complete package. But then, this verse is speaking that engaging all of these working senses, knowledge acquiring senses, the mind, the intelligence, all that in the service of Krishna. And when the living entity has a desire to engage that in the service of Krishna, Krishna helps. So we have to do our part by willingly surrendering our senses and at the lotus feet of Krishna, and then Krishna, he takes care, he takes charge, he also helps. So Rishikesha, Sevanam Bhakti Rishade. So this is devotional service. So Srila Prabhupada, he engaged us. So he focused, as I was saying again, he focused on re-establishing our real ego. Because he understands, the acharyas clearly understand that the false ego is the last thing to dissolve. So let's put more weight on this, on re-establishing our real ego. And so for that, the whole Abhideya process is that. So rising early in the morning, chanting, so engaging our tongue. So the tongue has two main functions, eating and speaking. So engaging the tongue, in chanting the holy name or Krishna Katha, and then giving the tongue prasadam. That's how the tongue. So each and every sense by sense, so Srila Prabhupada has given us engagements where that particular sense can come in contact with Krishna. And when that sense comes in contact with Krishna, that sense gets purified. So each and every sense. And as we also understand Bhagavad Gita, even one of the roaming senses can derail the boat of self-realization, or cast astray. So Srila Prabhupada very expertly, he engaged, he created a system, bhakti essentially, bhakti, devotional service, which can engage each and every of our senses, the working senses, the knowledge acquiring senses. And then not only that, the mind. Savayamana Krishna Padaravandayo, Vachamshi Vaikuntha Gunanavaranane. The mind is the main, one can say, the centerpiece. As mentioned in Bhagavad Gita, where the lust resides. It conquers these strategic places. So, to even address, to purify the mind, then to purify the intelligence. So it is mentioned in scriptures that one who is in the fire of Krishna consciousness, he is active at all levels. Is active at the level of the mind, is active at the level of the intelligence, is active at the level of the working senses, the knowledge acquiring senses, and of course his soul wants to naturally be engaged anyway in devotional service. So the soul at last, whew, what a relief, because that's the nature of the soul. But somehow or the other, the soul, although it animates the body, in this world it is in a foreign environment, like a fish out of water. So it's practically at the mercy of the craziness of this package. So depending on how crazy the package is, the soul cannot shine through. And so as Bhagavad Gita again mentions, there are different degrees of lust. The smoke covered by fire, the embryo covered by the womb, and that. So depending on our association, that covering can be thicker and thicker and thicker and thicker, and the essence of the soul does not shine through. But then bhakti is powerful. It can cut through, you know, all the layers of his conditioning and then reawaken, you know, the nature of the soul. So the soul naturally wants to engage in devotional service. But the senses, the outer coverings and the subtle coverings, they get in the way. And so Srila Prabhupada, he has given us a fantastic system, a foolproof system. It's not, you know, we don't need anything else. Everything is practically there. We just have to, you know, follow the system, and you know, we have practical engagements for all of our senses, we have association. And so we can, by engaging in devotional service, we can actually see that all these designations, you know, fall away. I'm sure we all have experiences. Before we came into Krishna consciousness, there were so many, you know, labels and, you know, upadhis we had, which were our limitations, you know. Without getting into the details, but you know, some of us have issues with you know, how we look, or you know, how tall we are, how short we are, you know, what color we have, you know, what abilities we have, what we don't have. So many things are limiting us. But I mean, we see here that Krishna consciousness is actually the ultimate in a leveling field. There is room for everyone. You know, nobody can say, I cannot do devotional service. It's not, you know, it's just not the truth. So it's just devotional service, very simple. Each one of us, Krishna has given us some abilities, and then we engage those abilities in Krishna service. And then actually we see that Krishna will decorate them. We may not even have those abilities earlier. We don't even know that these qualities are there. But by performing devotional service, they come, you know, to the forefront. For example, I can speak, I mean, when I was a very young boy, you know, like I can remember very, you know, vividly, clearly, when I was like, you know, 4 or 5 or 6, you know. So in the class, there were like elocution competitions. Elocution means like you had to prepare something and then you had to get up and speak in front of people. And I remember, you know, so I wrote it down and then I, you know, memorized it, you know, and then I dressed, you know, did dress rehearsals before my mom, you know, several times. And then I went there and then I spoke the first line and then gone, you know, blank. But that has the potential to create, you know, an impression that, oh, I cannot speak. But that was very young. But the beautiful thing is, I mean, they didn't stop there. Many years later, almost, when I was in my early 20s, so similarly, you know, I had a fascination. My elder brother, he joined the Indian Army. So, you know, the younger brother wants to follow his elder brother. So I had a fascination. I also want to, you know, join. You know. So there are different, obviously there are different examinations, right? So the written part, that was easy to clear, anyway, that I cleared that. And then after that, so there are, then you get in, you come in groups, there are group discussions, there are group tasks, and then, you know, so these army officers, they're observing everything, you know, who has leadership qualities and, you know, who can follow and things like that, who knows what they're observing. And then again, as a part of that, you know, assessment, one piece was something like that. So where they gave us, you know, like a small topic, they wrote it on a piece of paper, and then you had to prepare for that in like 2 or 3 minutes, and then you had to speak. You know, so I was in my 20s, and everybody was speaking. It was not a long speech actually, it was just for 3-4 minutes. And again, you know, so I spoke the first sentence, then yes, it was blank. I couldn't speak, and I knew I'm done. You know, I don't think I'll make it. Yeah. So those impressions, and then here I am. You know, literally, mukham garoti vashalam pungam langhayate kirim. Yeah. The beautiful thing is, I don't have like a typically when I mean I have some sense of where what I'll speak, but I don't have it laid down. But that, you know, to hear where you know, somebody, sometimes I'm told like, hey, you have to give a class in like 10 minutes before it actually happens. Okay. So again, so what I'm saying is Krishna consciousness, it brings us in contact with the qualities that we all have actually, but somehow or the other, you know, with all these voices, either from ourselves or the society tells us what we can do and what we cannot do, somehow we lose contact with that. And so Krishna consciousness is the ultimate, you know, leveling field. You know, anybody, you know, the most illiterate person to the, you know, the topmost scholar, he can engage in devotional service. So like that. So Srila Prabhupada, he gave us this simple process of devotional service by which we actually can engage in devotional service, and then we have the realization, prayojana, that actually we are not the body, we are the spirit soul. So of course when we say the body, the grosser shackles, the grosser designations in a way fall off a little more early. But the subtler shackles, they stay, like the devotee was sharing. Like for example, when we go out on Sankirtan, you know, we are going out on the streets, it's Chicago downtown, and we are in the middle of, you know, Kirtan, ecstatic Kirtan, the devotees are there, we're distributing books. I mean, we don't really care. Meaning, like, how do I look, what are people thinking about me, and what have you. But all these, you know, concerns were there earlier. Or, you know, we would be attracted, you know, to what's going on in Chicago downtown, you know, what's happening. But then we are not interested so much anymore. Because we are getting, you know, a higher taste. We are getting a higher taste of devotional service. So it's quite easy to theoretically accept that we are not the body, the spirit soul. But for us to actually realize that, we have to follow the process, abhideya. Then we'll realize it, prayojana. We will notice that actually we can go beyond the limitations of the body. Gross and subtle limitations. Gross is, you know, how some of us, you know, when there are some services, you know, we can, you know, push ourselves. We're not just pushing the body, but that strength to carry out those devotional services, they're coming from another place. We're acting on the platform of the soul, and the soul is inexhaustible, unlimited in energy. And we can see Srila Prabhupada, he would even tell, you know, many of the reporters, look at my boys. I mean, practically they are up from 3 in the morning till 10 in the night, and they are engaged in devotional service. So, how is it possible, you know, like that? So again, as we understand, sambandha, abhideya, prayojana, it's not like they're sequential. You know, first, you know, you make sure you get all your sambandha gyan, spend like 10 years in sambandha gyan, then you practice, and then, you know, later you will have prayojana. They're happening simultaneously. Right from the first day, Srila Prabhupada would engage some, you know, engage us in devotional service actually. Many people even had the idea, they would come and wanting to engage with Srila Prabhupada in like philosophical discussions and so on and so forth. And then Prabhupada said, well, why don't you go to the, you know, kitchen? You know, one devotee will, you know, answer your questions. And the devotee will say, can you wash the pots? You know, I'll be with you, but do you mind washing the pots, you know, for half an hour? And then he would understand, oh, my questions are answered. So meaning that the nature of the soul is that we are meant to serve. We are not meant to be the enjoyer, we are meant to serve. And so Srila Prabhupada, he trusted that knowledge is inherent in the soul. And just by engaging living entities in service to the Lord, that knowledge that is dormant, it will awaken. Yeah, a class once in a while also helps. But then there is knowledge, the soul, Satchidananda, it has knowledge inherently about itself, about its devotional service. And so when it comes in contact, it's like 1, 2, 3. Like Prabhupada said, I've not come here to teach you anything new, I've just come here to remind you what you've forgotten, What have you forgotten? You have forgotten devotional service. And so he reminded us, not only he reminded us, but he made practical arrangements where we can engage in a variety of devotional service. And then as you engage abhideya, then we have realization. Right? And also, like this International Society for Krishna Consciousness, in a way it's a, you know, what can be a more, you know, vivid example? People from different cultures, different languages, different walks of life, they are all able to come, for most part, under one roof, and work cooperatively, engage in devotional service. So this is a practical way to understand that, you know, we are all, this universal brotherhood topic that is so often talked about. It just is a philosophy. There is no way to practically live it unless, you know, one engages in devotional service. So Srila Prabhupada, he gave us this devotional service. And briefly I'll touch upon, you know, here this verse specifically talks about, you know, the house and the car, and we understand how in modern civilization, you know, the car is literally an extension of the person. What car you drive, you know, how many years have you driven the car, and what color is your car. So just by looking at the car, you can tell, you know, so many things about a person. Yeah. Anyway, so the first, I just got out of school, grad school, and actually had tons of loans to pay back. But anyway, so that's my nature. At that time, I the beautiful thing is, in my heart of hearts, I knew that if I would ask some other people, they would talk me out of what I wanted to do. So I didn't go. I didn't go with anyone. So when I came to Chicago, I went to a Jaguar dealer. And like, there was a prompting from within. But anyway, so this is what happens. You isolate. I had some friends, I mean, and mostly they were all Indians. And then Indians, as you know, they're like, you know, most of them, they will, you know, they will buy like a used, you know, Toyota or Honda, which will like run forever. But then, you know, hey, I'm different. I want to be different. Whatever. I just don't want to be any other Indian. So I went to the Jaguar dealer, and I didn't even do much research. And it's like almost like buying, you know, car, buying groceries. I went and I said, "How much is this?" And then he took me for a test drive. And of course, the salesmen—they are smooth, right? I mean, they're like, yeah. So 1990 Jaguar, and I test drove it. And then, you know, so I wrote a check, like down payment. That's it. Yeah. And then I took the car. And of course, as they say, for Jaguar, you need to have two Jaguars, one to drive and one that stays in the shop, in the garage, like, for repair. So I had that experience where every, you know, 6-8 months, something would happen. And even to get an oil change or, you know, something like that, like $600, like, I was, you know, kicking myself in my foot. But anyway, you have to learn, you know. So that was then. And then sort of I learned from experience, and then I went back to buying a Honda Civic Coupe. But anyway, so that's where I was, and I thought, you know, Jaguar, you know, I wanted to be different, especially different from the other Indians, you know, whatever. And then, like that. That's where I was, and you know, other things basically, like that. So we have, especially cars, you know, during even the, just around the Gulf War, you know, these Humvees, they become really popular, right? And now, maybe they are not so popular. Hummer. So what are we saying? In a way, we are, so there is some subtle identification either with that with the country, either with the soldiers that are fighting, or there is some subtle, we are telling a message to Krishna, hey, I'd like to be a soldier. So right now, initially we are driving a car, which is like the covering of the covering, the body of the body. Desire. Say, okay, one more lifetime, you can be a soldier. So anyway, so all these, you know, wishes that we have, desires, they are neither innocent nor harmless. They can become fixed obsessions which will take us to another body. That Prabhupada is writing here. You know, so many bodies we are creating out of illusion. Oh, I wish I had this, I wish I had blue hair. I mean, sorry, not blue hair, I mean, tall, you know, woman, man, I don't like my woman's body, I wish I was a man, whatever. Well, okay, then be ready if that's your choice to take birth again. And in the house, although here it specifically talks about the householder, so of course for the householder, I mean in a way, yeah, it's more entangling. So firstly, the living entity, it has its own house. This is the house. Our first attachment is to this house, the body. And then we also want a shelter. So it's quite simple. To be homeless, you know, it's very, very disconcerting actually. You know, but then when one has a house, and then again, what kind of a house one has, one needs, that's different. But what kind of house one has also tells a lot about people, you know, their aspirations, what, you know, drives them. You know, because these considerations are not in terms of service. What is my service to Krishna and what kind of a house I need? That's not the consideration. These, all these subtle things are driving our choices. You know, what kind of house I want, you know, 3-bedroom house, I should, at least there should be like marble floor, you know, because I can afford it. It doesn't matter whether I need it or not, but I need marble floor because, you know, it enhances my false ego. I have an identification that I'm a wealthy man and like that, of course. So who considers all these things based on service? Unless we came into devotional service, then our whole outlook changes. Isha Vashyam Idam Sarvam Yat Kincha Jagat Yam Jagat. You know, oh, Krishna says that there is a quota, and that quota is based on our service. It's not based on what I want, ideally. What is my service, and then what facilities do I need for that service? So that quota is decided according to that. So for example, for a householder, he needs a house. So that allowance for the house is there. Similarly, a car is there because he has to go to work. But again, many people don't have a car if you live in the city like that. So these things that we call ourselves mine, they, you know, if they are not, if they are coming from the position of false ego, then that's what will happen. But if we understand that I am actually a servant of Krishna, and I have various services to do for Krishna, and then based on the services that I have to do for Krishna, what do I need? What facilities do I need? Then those same things, they don't become entangling. Manasa deha geha jo kichhu mor arpilu tvo padananda kishore. Bhaktivinoda Thakur writes, my mind, my house, my family members, my bank balance, my car, whatever, it is actually yours, it's not mine. So then otherwise, as Prahlad Maharaj will speak later on, they become asat griha, they become, you know, a jail. We get imprisoned by these things. So we'll pause there and we'll see if there is any comments or questions. Thank you so much, Hare Krishna. Yeah, maybe Karlananda.
Thanks, Prabhu, for the class.
Hare Krishna. Regarding
what you were talking about, bhakti, I remember my first version of Bhagavad Gita I read that was written or translated by Catholic scholar called Juan Mascaro, and he translated bhakti as talents in action or talents in motion, which I think well complemented the concept that Prabhupada gave to the term bhakti. I would say, and talent is inherent to our intelligence, as you said. is not what I said.
Mm. One second. Yeah. Okay. Thank you. Yeah. Look, then. Yeah.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
There's a very short poem that.
What poem? British poem?
It's a very short poem.
Okay.
Poem.
Ah, poem.
That a person wrote. She's an American poet from the late 20th century. And it goes like this. Body, my house, my horse, my hound. What will I do when you are fallen? Where will I sleep? How will I ride? What will I hunt? Where can I go without my mount, all eager and quick? How will I know in the thicket ahead is danger or treasure, when body, my good bright dog, is dead? How will it be to lie in the sky without roof or door, and wind for an eye, with cloud for a shift? How will I hide? That's the end. It's just interesting because even people who are really immersed in materialistic activities, I can speak for myself, before I met devotees here in Chicago, you know, I was like up to my neck in just painful activities. And still I had a sense that I am not the body.
Yeah.
Occasionally, you know, it was like every other month or something, some kind of fleeting thought would enter my mind, like, well, this is kind of a strange place that I'm in, and there's weird things happening here, and nobody really knows what's going on, but we all kind of are doing something that seems to be worthwhile. And then I would just kind of slip back into the stream of things. So
correct. You're right.
It's just interesting how that awakening of consciousness, even I've noticed after practicing Krishna consciousness, a similar pattern happens. Like, I'll have brief moments of deeper appreciation and a more profound awareness of Krishna. But then I kind of go back into my stream. So it's an interesting process as consciousness. And one Prabhupada says, like, consciousness expands.
Yeah.
So, anyway, thanks for letting me share.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, similar. I think I agree with you. All of us have this prompting from the Paramatma. We just don't pay attention to it. I mean, I remember when I came to the West, I mean, to study, and then, you know, I studied, and then I learned, I mean, I had some desires, you know, fulfilled them. But then, as you think, there was still, you know, some emptiness. There was always something there. And I had a sense, well, there has to be more to life than this. I didn't know what it was, I mean, but that was there. There has to be more to life than just getting a degree, getting a job, getting married and having children and dying. I didn't know what it was, but that the prompting was there. But then, as you said, but then, you know, but then some opportunity for sense gratification comes along. Yeah, sure. You know, dive into it again, and then again, you know, you go down, and then you have, you know, when you're suffering, and many times you don't even know consciously you're suffering. You just sort of fill it up with, you know, you don't want to even face it. You know, you go and have an ice cream or a chocolate or, you know, whatever, and I just, you know, go and, you know, play golf or whatever is your thing, and just don't do it. Don't. But then, as you say, you know, it kept coming. There has to be something like that. And then somehow Krishna's arrangements, you know, Krishna reciprocates like that. So we all have that. Yeah, thank you. Yeah.
Reminds me of a golf job, but maybe I'll tell it if you allow. But I have maybe you could speak on some points in your wonderful class. You have many excellent points about, I guess I'll stick to this one point that comes up usually most of the time. So you were mentioning that Hiranyakashipu, you know, if you take the title off of this chapter, and suppose Hiranyakashipu is given a class, because the dilemma normally comes up is like who you should hear from, basically. So we definitely shouldn't hear from Hiranyakashipu. But naturally, if he was to give a Bhagavatam class, and we were to come in, most of us would be like, yes, listen from him. He, wonderful speaker, beautiful, excellent, very pure sound vibrations. On the other hand, so this is the dilemma that arises all the time. If we were to see Lord Shiva giving a Bhagavatam class with Mother Parvati on his lap, we'll say, definitely don't listen from him. Otherwise, you'll fall down. So this, it appears, so there's this dilemma going on in the Bhagavatam and in our practical lives all the times, who we should and shouldn't hear from. So, and usually we could understand that most of the offenses that we make is based on false ego, like the superiority syndrome. Only those who look like me, talk like me, and think like me. And the Bhagavatam essentially kind of shatters these misconceptions. But it's very difficult because most of the time, my understanding is that most of the time we're listening to our mind. You know, we definitely shouldn't listen to our mind, like Prahlad Maharaj says in 789. Except for the uncontrolled and misguided mind, there's no enemy within this world. So most of our hearing, you know, we shouldn't associate with our mind, our, you know, thoughts. And so it's a very difficult dilemma to solve, you know. So what solution do you have based on your realizations in Krishna consciousness? Because it's a very complex realization. As soon as you commit Vaishnava pride, then, you know, you may not fall down, but you won't get no taste in Krishna consciousness, you know. You'll always be fault-finding, always unhappy, you know, etc. So you may not do anything, you know, really sinful, but still no taste is kind of like terrible, being bored all the time. Okay. So can you
well, so in the context of the Hare Krishna movement in ISKCON, we just finished the ISKCON disciple course. So Srila Prabhupada definitely, I mean, right from the early days in 1969, when things were just starting off, and then even in 1975, where yes, some devotees were a little more advanced than in 1969. He always gave us caution to hear, you know, from devotees within ISKCON as much as possible. Not as much as possible. I mean, he was quite clear actually. Don't invite others, don't go elsewhere to hear. So that's one. You know, hearing as much as ideally, you know, from devotees. Within ISKCON. Then also one of the topic that was covered was Diksha Guru is one, but Siksha Gurus are many. And those Siksha Gurus also, they may be on a different, I mean, we are using really a liberal definition, connotation of Siksha Guru. So Siksha Guru can be on different platforms. So some Siksha Gurus may be on the, you know, Uttam Adhikari platform. Some Siksha Gurus may not be on that platform, but we are learning, you know, from them. They are active in our life. So we have to sense, we have to have a sense of our relationship. I feel, you know, I can connect to, you know, I feel there is a relationship with them. So we should hear from them, you know, regularly. And then if you are in a temple environment, you know, where it's not in our hands, you know, as to who will be the speaker, you know, some other authorities, they decide who will be the speaker. So we trust that the authorities are doing their due diligence and they are inviting the speakers to speak. And so practically, what I would invite anyone, everyone, is when you see a speaker, in a way, or when you see me, I mean, I would not, you would, I encourage you to not see my, by myself. I encourage you to see, you know, my spiritual master behind me, Srila Prabhupada behind me, and, you know, the parampara behind me. For that matter, any speaker. So then, while the person that is sitting in the Vyasasana, it doesn't become irrelevant. But then the message, I mean, it's not like I'm speaking to you. Yes, it is my voice, but the message is of the book Bhagavata, Srila Prabhupada. Yeah, the person Bhagavata, Srila Prabhupada, and the book Bhagavatam. So it's the Bhagavatam message is coming through. That's, we need to have that. Yeah. And then close guidance, we may have a few. We follow. So again, if we are strongly connected to our primary Shiksha Gurus, you can test it yourself. If we are primarily connected, if we are strongly connected with our primary Shiksha Gurus, you will notice that the speakers that are speaking the message of Bhagavatam, it is resonant with what your Shiksha Guru might be telling you. So in a way, in that sense, Guru is one. Their messages are stereophonic. The speakers, their messages are stereophonic. So that's what some of the realizations were in ISKCON, in the Hare Krishna movement. In a way, no matter where you go in the world, if you ask a question, generally you'll get the same, similar answer. Because they're all based on Srila Prabhupada's books. You're not the body, you're the spirit soul. So there is consistency in the answers. And so Srila Prabhupada, that's why he discouraged to go outside and hear sometimes. So because even if you hear one thing that is sort of different than what you're accustomed to hear, then you'll get bewildered. So of course, as we mature in spiritual life, advance in spiritual life, sometimes we may have to delve here and there. For example, if some of us have service of interfaith preaching, then I'll have to acclimatize myself. I'll have to read, what does the Quran say? But again, there also I have to make sure that I have an authentic version of the Quran or the Bible. Like that. So, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, in many of his writings, says, I don't read books. I read the author first. I proofread men. I proofread societies. And that's him. That. So we have to have some sense. That. Yeah. But again, it's in a way really not our business to judge. If something needs to be rectified, Krishna will take care. If it is not in our authority, adhikar, then we pray to Krishna. I see there's something perhaps going wrong here, I don't know, and do something about it. Like that. Srila Prabhupada, even in his movement, when some things were off, different devotees did different things. Some devotees, they had their service, they saw something was off, but they just did their service. And some others who brought it to the attention of Prabhupada. And then Prabhupada was grateful to all of them. He was grateful to them for continuing to do the service, ignoring the craziness that was happening. Yeah, not leaving and whatever. Yeah, right. And then he was grateful to those that brought it up to him. And if somebody should have brought it up and he didn't, Prabhupada would be very heavy with them. Yeah. So in general, we have to come to the position of at least a Madhyamadhikari. Madhyamadhikari can make distinctions between the Supreme Lord, the devotee, and even he can make distinctions between the grades of devotees. Not, to use that as a, stick. Discernment is different than judgment, distinguishing. Okay, thank you. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Anything else? Okay, so we'll pause here. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna.
Yesterday, so I didn't know if it's tonight. I was kind of hoping for it, but
no, tonight.